He's feeling his oats today or something. Not sure what it is. And now I lost my spot here on Isaiah 40. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 40:28. I'm going to read that in just a minute, but before I do, and you guys know me, I won't get through this without crying, and I'm sorry, but it's been a week. As Barbara said, it's been a year. This is true. But this treatment that Jim is undergoing now was kind of told to us that it would be much easier than the original chemo was, and in that it only attacks the good or the bad cells. That's true. It doesn't attack any of the good cells, and we're very thankful for that. But the body's response to it is pretty devastating. And the number one known side effect for this blinatumomab is fever. And the fevers can progress to the point that they become very, very serious, life-threatening. And so can the neurological problems that occur with this particular drug. And until, let's see, they started it on Thursday morning, the triple dosage. He started it a week ago, and he did real well through that week. But on Thursday, they tripled the dose, and his fever shot up to 103.9, and was on the verge of delirium, not quite as severe as we saw in February when the first chemo induction occurred, but pretty severe. And on top of that, it also drives his white blood count all the way down, so he is what they call neutropenic right now, which means he has no immunity whatsoever. And so this drug brings with it, although it does only attack the leukemia cells, it brings with it an immunity factor that makes his body go into overdrive to kill out all the bad stuff. So with all of that, the fevers have been high, they've been consistent. And yesterday they were talking about maybe having to discontinue the treatment. And as Donnie said, we've prayed, Lord, this is your child, this is your situation. We can do nothing to control it. We can do nothing to change it. The facts are the facts. But God controls everything, and including the facts. He created these bodies. And we just prayed and said, Lord, undertake, break these fevers. If this is your will that he walks this path of having to go through the chemo, then create a situation that will allow them to keep it going. Yesterday, he was very, very discouraged because he had made arrangements with Donnie and with the hospital to allow us to film him in the hospital room to deliver the message today. And the hospital was very cooperative, very agreeable to do that. They all know that he's a pastor. Every morning during rounds, there's about 10 people that come into the room to greet us and go over the numbers and, you know, the status and what's going on. And they all knew and agreed that yesterday would be the filming day. And when he was up all night the night before with a fever, they had packed him in ice. And unfortunately for him, when he gets a fever, it can be just a teeny little fever. He shakes uncontrollably with cold. He freezes when his fever is coming up. Once it gets up, no more chills and shaking, but the journey up there, he's freezing. And he had 103.9 temperature during the night, and they packed him with ice. And he was so furious. He told me they tried to kill me. And I said, how? And he said, they packed me in ice. Well, they did it again with an ice blanket, a different method, not as harsh as the first night, night before last. And the nurse came in and she said, I know you're upset with me, but I had to do it. It was for your own protection that we had to do it. Well, yesterday, again, as I said, he was very depressed that he couldn't film the message. He was just too weak. He couldn't think. He could barely talk. So when they brought his dinner last night, we had asked him when Don was there before they brought his dinner, Don, and I said to him, do you have any specific message that you wanted to deliver, want us to deliver? We told him we don't want to have any part of your message that you were preparing. You wait till you're ready to, you know, physically to do that, and then you can present that to the church yourself, either in person or on a video or audio, however it works. But do you have another message? And he said, yes. In Genesis, God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And in Isaiah 40, and I'm going to read that to you in just a minute. And so when his dinner came, he didn't know what to do with it. He just looked at it. And I said, honey, pick up the fork with your hand. And so he kind of reached out and picked up the fork. And he didn't, his mind wasn't working well enough to know, put the fork in the food and put it in your mouth. He couldn't do it. And so I said, do you want me to feed you? And he said, yes. So I tried to put it in his mouth, and he said, I don't want it. I don't want it. Take it away. And I said, well, how about the orange? Would you eat the orange? And he said, yeah, I'll eat the orange. He's, for some reason, he wants pickles, olives, and fresh fruit, and maybe a few vegetables, and that's it. Okay, so and the orange was in little slices. So I handed him one slice, and I said, now put it up to your mouth, open your mouth, put your teeth on it, and bite. And he did. And once he got it in his mouth and bit it, and, you know, his mind picked up and said, oh, this is an orange, I can eat this. Then he was able to eat the rest of the slices by himself. So that's the state he was in when I left. And we had a little bit of a discussion about me leaving because I said, I'm going to stay. And he said, no, you're not. You're going home. And I said, you haven't said three coherent words all day. What do you know? I should stay. He said, no, you go home and you go to church Sunday morning. And I said, you're the most stubborn man on the planet, but okay. So here I am. So last night, I called the nurse at 10:45 before the shift changed. And I said, how's he doing? And she said, he's been asleep the whole time. His temperature hasn't gone over 99. And he's very coherent when I wake him up. And I just wept with gratitude to the Lord. And I went to sleep, and I slept until 6 o'clock this morning. And I woke up, and I called the hospital immediately, and I said, can you give me a report? We know all the nurses, they're so sweet. And Joanne is the one that packed him in ice 3 nights ago, so he doesn't like her. But she was the nurse, and she said, he's still sleeping, he's doing great, no fevers, and he's coherent. So I let him sleep a little while, and I called him about 7:15, 7:30, and this is how he greeted me. He picked up he hasn't answered the phone in 3 days. If you've called, he hasn't answered because he just can't figure out what to do with it or doesn't hear it or something. But he said, "Good morning, sweetheart. How are you today?" And I just thank the Lord again for his mercy, for his grace. He didn't know my birthday yesterday. He hardly knew anything. But today, he said, "I'm smarter today than I have been the whole week put together," which meant his mind was working better. So I want to read to you Isaiah 40, the 28th verse through the end of that chapter, which is just a few verses. "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weary, weak nor weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and he gives strength to the powerless. Even the youths will become weak and tired, and the young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint." Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord with us that it was a good night and a good day today. You can't wait to get there and see him today. And with that, Don, I'm going to turn it to you. And he's going to play something that I think is pretty astounding that he remembered that we had, and I think it's wonderful. So here you go.
Yeah, when I was there at the hospital for a good portion of the day yesterday, and we were thinking, what are we going to do tomorrow? Because we were going to record his sermon, and that fell apart late in the week. So we said, what are we going to do? And we were going through some of the prior sermons, and my mom suggested, well, maybe we should go back several years and play something from my dad several years old. And he chimed in, like she said, not having a lot of coherent words all day. He said, "I would like to play something from after the point where I was elected as pastor." I was like, really? Like, that's okay. So he said, no, let's stick with the more recent stuff. So we were looking at what was on the website and trying to think about what would be appropriate. And we were struggling and didn't have anything. And now we have a lot. So... forgive us, I'll be mindful of time, but it is cool here and hot out there, and there's drinks in the fridge. So if you feel like getting up and getting a cool drink, feel free. Make yourself comfortable. But I'm going to play something here that years ago, I think this was 2014, it looks like, 2014. Brother Connor invited... the evangelist Mario Murillo to come here and to speak. And he did, and he came and held a revival service here. But before he came, Brother Connor and my parents went to his church in Martinez to kind of check in, I guess, and sit in on one of his services before he came. And in that service... he came to them and kind of called them out. You know, he didn't know at the time who they were and that he was coming here. He makes reference to in his word to them that, you know, you are working in the ground 50 miles from where we are here. I think he was pretty close, within a few miles. So. But I want to play that for you, and just to give some context, I think he just walks up to the three of them, asks them to at some point to stand up. My mom lets him know that Brother Connor, was our pastor, and when he gives an individual word to each of them, I think he starts with Brother Connor, and the word about physical healing is to my dad, and then he says to my sister, and that's my mother. So that's some context as to what he's talking about. And Brother Andrew will get some volume on the PC, and I'll go ahead and play.
I want all of you right here to look at me a second. Where is Edgar? Come on, Edgar. This is my armor bearer right here.
And when he makes reference to
one,
Jim,
two, three.
That's not my dad. That's a helper.
You three.
Got.
Is something really unusual. Extraordinary. It's going to involve thousands of people. Thousands. Wow. Man, I tell you what. Satan tried so hard, and he almost succeeded. But the breakthrough is right now. Somewhere like 50, 60 miles from this spot, you've been drilling in the ground, and it's been like rock. Matter of fact, people have left and lied. And not only were they partners that drilled with you, but they left and then they lied. And they tried to start something and it didn't work. But the last layer of shale, the drill bit is right through it. And it's oil, not just water. The Lord's saying the money is in the ground. Hallelujah. A gusher is about to break forth. Oil is God's way of talking about the Holy Spirit and joy. There's going to be a revival of joy. Revival of the joy of the Lord. Because that's what Satan brought, was heartbreak. So Satan hated joy, knowing that joy would be the centerpiece of this outpouring. Glory to God. I need some more help. I'm going to ask my wife to come over here. We have, and Lord, forgive me, I didn't say anything sooner. Look who's in the house, folks. Jim and Christine from the Bridge in Yuba City are in the house. Would you come right now? My brother, would you stand up? My sister, would you stand up? Would you come out here? And I need ushers. I need you to come, brother. I'm gonna have you walk right over here. I'm gonna have you walk right over here. Hallelujah. Folks, whenever we go into overtime, the devil suffers the most. So everybody clap your hands and thank God for overtime. Brother Jim, if you would help me, my brother, if you'd step toward me right now. When the Lord sent you 60 miles south of here.
I believe this is Connor.
When he sent you.
No.
He sent you to see revival. And you have asked God sometime, Lord, it's torture to hold on to this vision for revival. And you've said, Lord, it'd be better for me if you would release me from this place and send me somewhere else. I wonder if we understand that feeling, Jim. Put your hand on his shoulder. The outpouring of God, the drill bit is in the last layer of shale right now. And underneath it is an oil deposit that's virtually unlimited. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed in coming days. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. The Lord said it's even at the door. The Lord said it's going to blast the windows out of the building. The literal foundation will be uprooted and the glory will be seen. And you will look up and be radiant, says the Lord. For they'll come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And even hours before the doors open, they'll ask, when will the doors open? I am so ready for the move of God. Hallelujah. 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 I need some help right now. I need some hallelujahs in this house. Glory to God. 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 This is the stuff you read about in books, folks. These are the things you read about. Glory to God. And now, as confirmation, if you'll stay with him, Brother Jim, the Lord is healing your body. It's a miracle from the hand of God. You see, you've been strong all your life.
This is for
you've
my
been
dad.
Industrious all your life. You've been the man that when he starts something, he finishes it. And the Lord says, I'm restoring your youth. I'm giving you back strength in your legs, strength in your spine, strength in your lungs, and strength in your heart. I'm bringing it back. And I'm going to give you a new invention, says God. I'm going to give you the patent to something totally new. Glory to God, so that the wealth of the wicked may be transferred into the kingdom of God. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is saying, glorify me. God is saying, glorify me. God is saying, glorify me. God is asking everyone in this building to glorify him. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. They're all coming in. They're all coming in. Every one of them. Every one of them that you've listed in your book, they're coming in. They're all coming in. God is restoring relationship. God is going to give conviction and bring them to Christ. God is healing your body right now. God is healing your joints. He's healing your neck. Look out, lay hands on my wife. She's receiving a healing in her neck. Glory to God. God is healing my wife. Glory to God. You know, the current of electricity is just running through this place. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Receive it. Just receive it. Hitoloboria rekamara. My daughter, I'm speaking to you right now. The pain is leaving your body, says the Lord. Your legs, back, hips, shoulders, and fingers are growing strong. And the Lord is healing your heart. Your broken heart, says the Lord. He's healing. And you will sleep through the night and have no interruption, no panic attack, no problem whatsoever. And the Lord's restoring the years that the enemy has stolen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I need help right now. I need you. You know, let's just clap our hands. I mean, we have put our foot on the neck of the devil tonight. We have put our foot on the neck of the devil tonight. Glory to God. 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 You ladies that come on Wednesday and pray, I want you to notice something. The power level went up because the intercession that we're doing on Wednesday. You ladies cannot stop. You know, if I find out that the women's prayer meeting is canceled, I'm going to roll this thing up and move out of town. Glory to God. I want to tell you, we're going to have a men's prayer meeting, by the way. We're going to announce that next Friday. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Just raise your hands, everyone. Glory to God. Say it with me out loud. I want a good, long life. Yep. And I'm telling you, not with a feeble mind, not with dementia or Alzheimer's, not where you don't remember your loved ones, but where you burn brightly. The only thing that will take you to heaven is you'll start jumping up and down that you have crossed the finish line. And like Simeon and like Caleb, you'll say, I got the mountain that God promised me. I've seen the Messiah like God promised me. Now your servant can go home in peace. Hallelujah.
Well, so while we were sitting there in the hospital room yesterday, and we were talking about what we were going to focus on, and we had looked at and listened to some sermons and some messages and some, you know, kind of discussing the concepts, and I was listening to that just to recall, you know, what happened in that meeting, and obviously it caught my attention when he started speaking to my dad about his spine and strength in his legs and a healing that didn't really make sense to me at the time because he didn't have those issues at the time. You know, he may have had neck pain from working or something, but obviously not to the extent that he needs his spine and strength in his legs healed now. So that obviously caught my attention because we've been praying for that. And in addition, his focus on a revival of joy, that connected as well, because we need, you know, we've all got needs, and you can hear in the prayer requests, there's a lot of needs, and there's a lot of illness, there's a lot of cancer for such a small group, so many touched by cancer. And so Audrey and I were praying last night, there's a lot of attacks that can come, but when the enemy is really active, we can look to the Lord and say, we're excited for what you're about to do. Because if he's that active, something's coming. And what thing we were going to play this morning, which looking at the time, we will hold off because it's 10 till noon. The sermon my dad preached last year on the root of joy. You know, sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And God willing, he'll have his own sermon next week. If not, we'll follow up with that. But even without playing that, I just wanted to mention that. And I really do think that the Lord was speaking through Mario in that message to them. I do believe there's a revival of joy. And I do believe that the Lord has that spiritual well in store for us. As he said, the oil under the surface, very close. And the Lord, you know, he moves in seasons. He moves, you know, I was reading Ecclesiastes to the kids recently. You know, for everything there is a season. And that's an odd book to read to children. But they were interested in it. And, you know, the Lord acts and moves in seasons, not in minutes and hours and days typically. Sometimes he does move quickly and miraculously in an instant. But often we look back and he's acted and moved in seasons. And we can look at the seasons of our lives and the work that the Lord has done during those seasons. And I think that we're in a season now, you know, and some of these seasons obviously overlap. We have personal things that we're going through, and we have a season as a church body that we go through, and seasons at work. And but we can look at God's hand in all of these things and say he's moving in a larger way over the course of whether it's weeks, months, days, years, but he's going to work everything together for the good of those who love him. And I believe that for all of us here this morning. And so in light of the time, we'll pick up on that sermon when we get another opportunity. Or maybe I'll just whisper it in his ear for next week. But a revival of joy. Let's keep that in our hearts. Because we need that. And we need to, You know, in that sermon, because I listened to it last night, he does speak quite a bit that, yeah, these things happen. You know, troubles come, trials come. But keeping a heart of worship and maintaining the joy of the Lord, the joy of what we know to be true in him, gets us through these seasons. It gets us through these trials. And we must maintain that joy of salvation and that joy of Christ's victory all the way through. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, again for this opportunity to gather together, Lord, and to hear your word, Lord God. And as we've heard this morning, God, these words spoken as a prophetic word, Lord, by Mario, we want the truth, God, and we want to see these things come to pass. Your word says to test all these things, to test these things. You are not shy. You are not self-conscious about your word. The truth will come to pass. Your truth will come to pass. And we are praying for healing for the pastor. We're praying for strength in his spine, strength in his legs. And we are not shy to replay your word. And we're not shy to recall what it says in your written word, Lord, in the word of God, in the Bible, your ability to heal, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are not shy to go back to those words and read them and say, we have these promises. You've said these things in the past, sometimes very specific, like what we played this morning, and sometimes in your word, always applicable to our lives, Lord God. You've made us promises, and we rely and depend upon your promises. And Lord, we want to see a revival of joy for Calvary Temple and in our lives and in our jobs and in our personal homes and relationships. We want to see that move of your Holy Spirit and a revival of joy. And we ask that you bring that breaking through that last bit of ground will lead to a revival of joy in this place so that people do come and line up and say, I want to see the move of God. And we ask for those things to come to pass soon, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Be with each and every one of us this morning as we go out, Lord God, this week. We thank you and we praise you and we give you glory. Amen.